There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Daydream, why do you haunt me so?
The Luxury Lookout.
That's my favourite song now.
It is Little Baby Dream. We've got Sarah Headley-Homas from Condé Nast Traveller Middle East joining us. Did you know that Mark's a granddad now?
I did. I was just about to say congratulations before we went on air.
Thank you, Sarah. Aww, thank you.
You look so happy.
I am very happy. Yeah. Do I look young?
For a granddad,
has it aged
yes.
me?
Are you getting much sleep, Mark?
Yeah, I'm getting loads of sleep, yeah, because the baby's in the next room. It's not bothering me at all. Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's in the next room. So,
really
yeah,
good.
I'm getting plenty of sleep.
Should we start this week with what's online when it comes to luxury travel?
Yes, let's do that. So, online this week, we have 40,600 dirhams worth of hotel stays to give away.
Wow.
Now, obviously, we're a luxury travel outfit, so that's not very many days, but...
Is it 2 days? Dude, we've got a weekend giveaway.
No. It's actually 6 days. It's three separate lots of hotels today with Rocco Forte. They are amazing hotels, people. We have Brown's in London, which is where President Roosevelt honeymooned.
Yeah, it's very posh,
Agatha
that one.
Christie wrote books there. It's just the most amazing and yet, despite its luxury, very homely. So if you ever want to know how really super rich people in London's Mayfair live,
yeah.
It's like stepping into somebody's living room.
Is it?
In this part of town. Yeah. I've known some sort of old friends as rich parents in that area, and this is what it reminds me of.
Wow.
Going around to the Uxbridge parents' homes in London. Very nice.
I just felt like a flash of pride that Geordie has got friends whose parents are rich.
I did. Oh, I'm glad I made you proud.
These three
well
hotels.
Done, Newcastle. Yeah, so
you're about to tell us about.
So we've got Brown's. In
yeah.
London,
yeah.
Which has just undergone a massive restoration. So it's even more swanky than it was before. But possibly in my top three favourite hotels in London of all time. And that's my base. I stayed in quite a few. So it's a really good one. And then we've got the Charles Hotel in Munich, which I haven't had the pleasure, but I've heard is one of the best in Munich. And mm-hmm. it's Roquefort, so you know it's going to be a really good one. And then Florence. Oh, wow, Florence. If you haven't been to Florence, you just have to go. It's one of the most beautiful places in the world.
We've been to Florence.
Steph and
together.
I went to Florence. Had a big fallout.
How can you fall out in Florence?
No, we did. I know I went to the Hard Rock Cafe and you took off somewhere. I don't know what
no,
you were doing.
No, Florence was the car drive where we saw the guy yeah. in the very short shorts jogging.
Right.
And we nearly missed
nearly
a ship.
Missed
the two highlights of the drive.
Very short shorts and a missed ship. It yep. sounds like a very interesting itinerary. It's good. This one's slightly more upmarket.
They've all got something in common, these hotels.
They're all Roquefort hotels, yes.
And something else.
What?
Mark and I have never been at any of them.
Oh.
I actually interviewed the GM of Brown's once.
Yeah.
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 ATM.
He didn't let you in, though. He did it outside the front door.
No, it was here in Dubai, but it did sound very,
nice,
very posh.
Nice guy.
Yeah, lovely
yeah,
guy.
Mm. Yeah.
So much history in that hotel.
So much. And the staff I found were absolutely awesome. Not stuffy at all, because obviously when yeah. you're at that caliber of hotel, there is a risk that you're going to feel a little bit like you're annoying people just by breathing. And it's not like that at all. It's really, really friendly and really, really homely and cosy. So we have got two nights in each of them to give away on a new section, which I've just launched on the website. So it's cntravellerme.com/competitions. Very simple to remember. And the good thing to know about this part of the world is there's not many people here. So your chances of winning are high. And another point to remember, it's Ramadan. So of the few people who are here in general, most of them have gone somewhere else. So we have this high percentage of win probability. So yeah, if you're feeling lucky,
you have a good chance.
Yeah, it really is. Honestly, if I
fighting chance.
If I wasn't a member of the company or a family relative of a member of the company, then I would definitely be entering all three of these competitions.
When does the competition close?
It's going to close in the middle of next month.
Right. And yeah, if I no longer work here, say, and
yes,
I don't know you necessarily
yeah
anymore.
Yeah, it's all right. We're
I
not related.
Could enter,
we're just Geordie clan, but we're not. We're not blood relatives.
Oh. Yeah. Might I be entering a competition later?
Well, I don't know. We're from Newcastle. We might be slightly.
No, I think that would be a fix. Also online, the top 10 places to visit in the Middle East.
Yes, we interviewed a really interesting guy, Sal Lavallo, who has, he's the youngest man to have travelled to every single country in the world.
How young?
He's 27.
Wow, I thought there'd be someone younger than that.
There's about 193 countries, so it's quite good going for somebody who's been to school. So, yeah, he's managed to fit in quite a lot from leaving school, and then he went to college overseas, so that helped. And then he met loads of people at his overseas college who all came from different parts of the world. So in school breaks, he holidayed at each of their family homes. He did it very well.
I think this is beatable by a rich kid. I think they could do it in 3 years.
Do you think?
From the age of 18.
Yeah.
I reckon 21.
Like a rich gap year.
Gap 3 years.
Yeah. Well, there's a gauntlet thrown down if there are any rich kids listening who fancy a gap year or
4 days. 4 days in each place, that, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Do people still do gap years?
Yes.
Yeah, more than ever.
Really?
Yes.
It's a real thing now, is it?
Oh, yeah. It's almost part of the syllable now.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, and he was really interesting. Just talking to him about, we focused on the top 10 places in the Middle East that he visited. And it was just interesting hearing terms like Iraqi delight, which is Turkish delight, but in Iraq. And camel, his favourite meal in that he's ever had in the UAE. Apparently you can get like a camel meal deal in Abu Dhabi where you get the whole, everything's camel. And camel biryani is his favourite dish.
Whoa.
And it was just very interesting. So we videoed this, so it's on our YouTube. So youtube.com/C/CondéNastTravellerMiddleEast. And then you can see Sal, and he just basically, it's a sort of speed round, and I just kind of fire off the names of countries, and he just tells me the first thing that comes into his head and what he ate while he was there. So it's a really cute, if you haven't been to everywhere in the Middle East while you live in the Middle East, I think it's a bit of a, you know, it's a bit of a bucket list that everybody has. And these are those top 10 places. And it's just his observations. Things like when he went to Jordan, it snowed, it was freezing. And you just don't think of Jordan as being freezing cold and snowy. But there's just so much more of the Middle East that we don't see, that we haven't explored yet.
Yeah.
So if you think you've, you know, like me, you've been here 8 years and you think you've kind of been to
everywhere.
Think
you know it all.
Yeah, you think you know it all. You know how it goes,
and you don't.
Mark. Us old
you
expats, long timers. You don't. So log on and have a look at Sal. He's from America. So him and his dulcet tones will talk us through a Middle East that we never knew.
Was there any country he said he would definitely want to go back to more than the others?
UAE was definitely his favourite. He was very enamoured with Iraq because he was worried about going there. He was being American. He had all these issues about, oh, is it stable? And he said that very quickly went away and he realised how friendly and wonderful the place was. And he had such a good time there. So I think that would be high on his list of priorities. And for Saudi, he worked in Saudi for a while. So he's looking forward to going back as a tourist when they have their tourist visas. And so he is actually planning that return trip already.
Just had a message in just regarding that, those hotels. So the hotel in Florence, what was the name of that?
Savoy.
The Savoy.
It's absolutely stunning. Another historical great, and it's just reopened. Only just reopened, I think, last month. So everything in there is sparkling.
Wow.
And it's one of the most important hotels in Florence, and it's within easy reach of all of the critical art and scenery.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's a good one. I wish I could enter.
Yeah. Jump online if you are interested in having a look at those hotels and possibly winning a couple of nights stay in each of them. cntravel@me.com is the website you need to go to.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to come back. We're going to stick with luxury travel. We're going to talk wellness as well as you could ever possibly be in life.
Daydream.
The Luxury Lookout. Dream.
There's only one person in the room that's done the next set of luxury travel. She looks very well, doesn't she?
None of us. Yeah.
Yeah. You're glowing over there.
I have just returned from Albia, which is just beside Alicante, Benidorm in Valencia, Spain, where I have been staying at a wellness clinic called Shah. It's very exclusive. You can arrive by helicopter if you like, because okay. It has a helipad on the grounds. I think that kind of gives you an overall impression of the place.
Noisy.
And did you arrive
That's
by helicopter?
That's one way of looking at it.
Is that
glass
how you
half empty? No, I didn't actually. I arrived by Iberia Airlines, who lost my luggage. I had no clothes for 2 days.
Is it wrong that I feel happy about that?
You just raised your arms like you just scored a goal.
Gesticulating.
Yes! Yes! That's it. Did you say that, Jimmy?
Yes, I did.
That was gesticulation. Telling. I tell you. I didn't lose it. Iberia lost it. So be very careful about how you get to this place, because the connecting flights aren't fabulous. It does make you absolutely love Emirates, though, because I was on Emirates into Madrid, and Emirates was like, oh, it's just so lovely, and everyone was polite, and everything just ran smoothly, and it was so efficient. And then I got onto the Iberia airline, and oh dear me, it was like stepping into a different world. And then when they lost my luggage, they're like, yeah, happens quite a lot. No apology. Can I have it back, please? Sooner or later, you know, we'll get it there. Yeah. And it was going to be 3 days, but I was like, I'm only in Spain for 4 days, so that would be that would be quite annoying, because I haven't been able to go out for the last 2 days because I don't have any clothes.
That's upsetting, especially when you go into a place that's not a shopping destination.
Yeah, and it was... But what was more upsetting was just no apology. They put me on standby on the way over there. That was why my luggage was lost, because they put me on standby. I was like, oh, why is that? Oh, we've sold too many tickets. Yeah, we do that all the time. It was like, okay, I understand overbooking. It's not something I agree with, but all the airlines do it. But you just expect a little bit of empathy. Sorry. These things happen. It sucks. But honestly, somebody actually said to me at one point, yeah, too bad. I just thought, customer service, nil point. So, do take a helicopter to Shah. That would be my advice.
Or Emirates.
You can't get there all the way. You can't connect.
Oh, of course.
So there isn't a direct flight, unfortunately. So Emirates, please start doing direct flights.
Emirates
plus
a helicopter.
Yeah. So, and then once you get to Valencia or Alicante and that trauma is over, then a lovely limo will come and pick you up and take you to the resort, which is in the hills in this beautiful, peaceful mountainside destination. And it kind of looks like the sort of place where they would shoot a pop video. Do we say pop video anymore? Do I sound my age?
MTV video.
Yeah, music video.
Music video. Yeah, you're the music reference book here, aren't you?
Yeah. Music video.
Music video. We don't say pop video anymore. Sorry, that was just me when I was 14. But yeah, it's got that kind of, you know, that Wham! Again, showing my age.
Club
I was going to say Club Tropicana. But yeah, that's how I kind of felt when I got there. But there was nobody partying because it's a wellness clinic. And so it's the sort of place where footballers and celebrities go, and you can have any kind of treatment you can imagine, from hair transplants down to a basic blow dry. So that gives you like the absolute gamut of treatments and services available. One of the ones I tried, have you ever had watsu?
Watsu.
Watsu.
What, do you eat it?
No.
You gotta get some kind of waxing thing.
It's water shiatsu. So you and a therapist get into a huge tank.
And put a little shiatsu in there with you and stalking.
That would be better, even. No, it's really weird. It's like being born. It's like being in the womb. So the therapist put some floats on your ankles and your arms and put your head in like a little floating bowl, and then they just pull and push your limbs and pressure points and just give you a water massage, basically, but while you're completely closed in dark water. So if you've ever wanted to know what it's like to go back to the womb, this must be what it's like, you know, like when your mum's like pushing her stomach around. It's just so surreal, but very relaxing.
I don't rate any experiences I can't remember.
Sounds a bit weird, that. So you can't see anything then?
No, well, your eyes are shut. Yeah. So you close your eyes because you're in water, so there'll be a little bit of splashing. I mean, you can open your eyes at any time and just go, oh, I'm going to stop and stand up. You don't. It's not like, you know, you get these small flotation tanks. It's a room. Yeah. It's a room filled with water, you know. It's like a big space where two adults can stand up and walk around up to their necks in water. And then you just, you know, like this.
Claustrophobic.
Traumatized, Steph.
Do you know what I always think? And I don't know if anyone else thinks this. I think it a lot when, if I'm with a chiropractor or something, you know when they're around your neck?
Yeah.
And I think to myself, you know, if they just had a really, really bad day.
Yeah.
And they're like, the same as someone's got my head near water.
Yeah, but you're safe in water. You're weightless. So the chance of you snapping your neck is zero. Whereas,
I'm thinking more about being underneath it. Oh, period of time.
You're never under the water.
If someone was having a bad day.
Just decided to drown you because you were next on their list.
I'm a worst case scenario thinker.
Your glass is definitely half empty. Let's top this glass up. Okay, so you don't like that one. I'll give you another one. This one I really liked, and it was the cheapest one on the menu. Hot ginger compress. You take some ginger, you slice it up, you put it in some boiling water, you wrap it in some gauze, and then you push it down on sore muscles. The ginger kind of heats the skin up a little bit like a tiger balm would. Okay. And the pressure definitely can't break your neck. It's a large pad, like, you know, like the sort of a bouquet garni that you would put in a soup, but big human size one.
This is good.
Yes, that I absolutely loved.
We could do that at home with a flannel.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love that one.
Yeah, so that's a good one. And no chance of breaking necks whatsoever.
So is this the kind of place that we'd see on Black Mirror where everyone is kind of dressed in white and they're all doing the same thing every day?
Absolutely. It's absolutely, it's stunning, but it's comfortable. The rooms are, the suites are beautiful, and they've got balconies that overlook the mountainside and the sea, and it's like an oil painting outside of your window, so that's incredibly soothing. So not Black Mirror kind of Charlie Brooker madness. So you've got this beautiful oil painting view, and then inside of the suite, it's all sort of warm heated stone floors, plush grey rugs, big sort of L-shaped sofas in front of your own big flat screen TV. So you kind of go, do your fitness stuff. Every morning you wake up and you go on one of three walks. There's a mountain walk, a lighthouse walk, and a beach walk. Lighthouse walk is just epically beautiful. It takes you right up to the crest of the mountains and you just see for miles and miles. It's absolutely stunning. Tiny little lighthouse. I don't know what good that would do anybody in a ship with those size rocks, but cute, cute nonetheless. But the walk itself is fabulous. So you have these 90-minute walks in the morning, then you come back to the resort, and the food. Oh, wow!
Will a 90-minute walk do it then?
If you're walking up a mountain, yeah, sure. The beach walk is for people who are super unfit, and then the mountain walk is for people who are super fit, and then the lighthouse walk is kind of, it's half and half. Uphill, yeah. So that was, it's not too taxing, but if you want to, you can ramp it up, you can jog it or run it. So people go at their own pace, and the resort will drive
a rescue.
Close enough to Benidorm for a night out?
You are, but I didn't do that. I kind of thought, you know... I was only there for a couple of days, but imagine if you're there for a week, and even though, I mean, the food is beautiful, absolutely stunning creations, and even the sort of most indulgent daily menu is only 1,700 calories a day. But I just think, surrounded by all that beauty, because I tell you what, the people who are there, they don't need to be in a wellness. They're like, I felt like I was surrounded by models. I was definitely the shortest person in the room at all times. And everyone was super slim. So I was thinking, what are you here for? Like, because you didn't get the cover of Vogue yet? I mean, it was beautiful people. And I kind of, you know, wanted to kind of run amok in Benidorm. It did cross my mind, or even just down in Alicante. But no, I was there for my health, so I stuck it out. And absolutely stunning. Guess how much it costs for a week. See if you can... And in your package, by the way, you get the basic room, and basic is just not the right word for it. It's called the deluxe room, the starter category, and it's, you don't need anything else, but you can pay another €500 a night and have one of these epic apartments.
Food?
It includes food, three meals a day, your accommodation in the basic suite, and select treatments. So the packages will have like a certain amount of consultations with nutritionist, Chinese medicine expert.
No flights.
No flights. You do your transfers and flights yourself. Okay. So what do you think it is for a week?
I'm going to say 27,000 dirhams.
Interesting. What?
I'm going way up. 100,000 dirhams.
No, 11,255.
That's not bad.
That's all right, isn't it? That's starter, but it's all right.
Has she got to me? Am I thinking weirdly? that sounds quite acceptable.
I'm sure you've missed an arse off that.
No, I haven't. Yeah, yeah. It's a really good price, isn't it? I think that's a decent, yeah. I would definitely be all over that for sure. I'm hoping to go back for a week when I've got time, but I've used all my holiday up already.
Maybe the girls that you saw had been, maybe it was last day for all of them. Maybe that's what happens to you when you go there.
And they turned into supermodels in the week. Yeah.
And what's the name of the place again?
Shah, S-H-A, and it's shahwellnessclinic.com. And my full experience is on the website now with a video of everything. Well, videos are strictly prohibited, but I kind of got around that by doing an Insta story, which I then downloaded. So I've done, but I did an Insta story like I was making a film. So it was storyboarded and scripted, and it's got every single element that you need to know about. That's on that's the lead story on the homepage on Condé Nast Traveller right now. So you can go, it's only 3 minutes long, and it will show you everything that you need to know to decide whether you want to go and have a week there. But yes, I would recommend that. And I think it's special, the price is good now because Spain gets very hot in July, August, so we're coming into a season where it's at its cheapest, whereas we've just come out of its most expensive season, which is April. May is like the sort of peak, so now is the time to book for an affordable place over the summer. So I highly recommend it.
It sounds absolutely fabulous. When we come back, we're going to be talking private planes, and we're going to be talking about a swim trek, which means you could be like Mark Lloyd. Wrinkly.
Daydream, why do you haunt me so?
The Luxury Lookout.
We're going to have to whiz through these, so let's start with private planes.
Yeah, I did this the other week. It's awesome. Absolutely awesome. Lightfoot Travel have come up with an itinerary that takes you by private plane around some of the highlights of both the UAE and Oman. So in the UAE, go to Casa Al Sarab, which I still haven't been to. I am constantly told when I ask people what's your favourite hotel in the UAE, that an Atara resort comes top of people's lists time and again.
Yeah. Wow.
Have you two been?
No.
Really? Oh my, the three of us are terrible travel reporters.
I've just told you how much my car's worth.
I don't think your car would make it out there, would it?
It's on my list. I'm going this year. I'm going to do it. So it starts off there, and then you get a private plane from Dubai to Sabanias Island. Have you been to Sabanias Island? Yes, well, okay, good. You will know then, it's like being Snow White in a Disney movie. I was walking through the back of the Al Yam Hotel, and there's gazelles skipping and butterflies flying and peacocks or peahens with their pea chicks. I actually saw like a mama peacock with her babies just like
wobbling around.
And cute. But it's everywhere. It's like the grass is alive with all of these animals, and they put on this like mad sort of Hatter's tea party in the middle of it all, and it's just like, I am in a Disney film.
Amazing.
This is like my childhood TV realized. It was so surreal and fabulous. So you go there. That's got its own little airport. And then you get back in the plane. You're 2 nights there. You're 2 nights in Casa Al Sarab. And then you fly over to Muscat. And then you've got 2 nights over in Muscat. Have you been to Oman?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I've stayed in one of the resorts. It's the Al Antara Al Jabal Akhtar, the Green Mountain Al Antara Resort.
I stayed on the Green Mountain. I stayed at the Alila.
Yes, that's just down the road. Yeah. They're literally neighbours with each other.
The original.
Yeah, that's the original one. And stunning. And the Al Antara one, I don't know if the one down the road is the same, but they had these beautiful infinity pools at the back of each of the villas.
Oh.
So you kind of look like you're just going to waterfall off the side of these amazing Oman mountain
in
ranges.
In a good way.
In a good way, because you're not. You're safe. But it gives you that sort of sensation of being at the top of a waterfall on the top of a mountain.
That is beautiful.
Yeah, really stunning. And the other ones, Al Al-Bayid in Salalah.
So you've got three destinations.
Four different hotels.
Four.
Two countries. And Salalah, that's it. Now,
it's great, Salalah. I love it.
Yeah, I've heard this as well, but I haven't been there. So, I mean, really bucket list places all around the Middle East. And you're flying with GI Aviation in these beautiful little planes that seat six people, excluding your pilots, obviously, who are quite critical. And yeah, just...
Critical of what? What you're wearing?
Oh, that would be fun, wouldn't it? If they got it. Not like that, you're not getting in dress like that. Yeah, beautiful planes. They're fitted by BMW interiors. Oh, wow. Like... Yeah, hello, I've arrived. Just marvellous, marvellous. So how much do you think that one's worth?
Okay.
So we've got four hotels.
Yeah. 8 nights?
The price is based on four people.
Okay.
I don't know. Yeah, four people. So you get two rooms everywhere you go, and it includes your breakfasts. So you've got your breakfast, you've got your hotels. It's 8 nights in hotels in total, four in the UAE, four in Oman, and then you've got obviously your private aircraft.
Flights.
It's not a jet because the pilot was telling me it's a single prop, single propeller plane, and then you got twin props.
I think we'd got that.
And then, I didn't know all of that.
Really?
And
prop?
And then jet engine. So I was like, oh, I just thought they were all private jets. But no, private aircraft, lots
I'm upset.
Of different...
It's not a G8.
It's not that.
I'm only joking. From the song.
It's a Pilatus PC-12NG.
There you go. I just read that from my notes.
That's the detail.
I've got no idea, but BMW, I know those are good. Better than your car, Steph.
Oi! I'd like you to guess first because I went first last time.
All right, I'll go for 72,000.
No!
What?
I was going to go for that.
Really?
I was. I've literally divided it by four on a calculator.
Oh, you're both so wrong.
Oh.
It's 202,000.
Oh.
Yeah.
Miles out there, weren't we?
Yeah, honestly, private aircraft cost a fortune.
Yeah.
These days.
I hadn't factored in the petrol.
No.
Yeah.
Back to the drawing board on that.
The price on private aircraft is actually going down considerably, making it more accessible for a lot more people, but it's still such a huge part of the cost.
50,500 dirhams, they could have rounded it down, couldn't they? 50.
Yeah, if you go for like, yeah, four people rounded down to that, each person paying, yeah. Yeah, it's a trip of a lifetime.
The extra 500's put me off, to be honest.
You could just go in your little car once. Buy Steph's car and go in that.
Go by road. Yeah.
Good luck, people.
It'd bring the price down a bit, wouldn't it?
Considerably, somewhat.
But if I had the money, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, yeah. That it's just such a nice way of doing it. And also, to get from here to Sabanias Island ordinarily would take you hours and hours and hours. Yeah. And then you've got to drive 370 kilometres and then get a boat across to the island and wait for the boat to be there and all that kind of stuff. This, you know, you're down to Jebel Ali Airport, in your pop, an hour later.
You're paying for your life back.
Yeah, you're getting time back. So if you're a time is money kind of guy or girl, then this is the holiday for you.
We got to end on that one. Look at the time.
I know, it's flown by, hasn't it? Great to have you, Sarah.
Oh, thank you.
Will you be listening to our last show tomorrow?
I shall. Sad times, guys. Good luck with the future, Steph.
Thank you very much.
That's it.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.